Hey, the brother that just told me, hey, would you stand up? Diagnosed with cancer, after prayer and believing God, 3 months later, not one cancer cell left in his body. Miracle man. Come on, Jesus. Happy, happy, happy. We're getting a series this month called Fearless. Fear is not God's will for your life. It's not God's best for your life. And all fear is a lie. Before I do, let me tell you a funny story. An airplane was about to crash. That's a bad beginning to a funny story, but just a story. There were 4 passengers, but only 3 parachutes. The first passenger said, I'm a leading heart surgeon, and my patients really need me. I'm an important man. He grabbed the first parachute, jumped out. The second passenger said, I'm a rocket scientist, one of the smartest men in the whole world, and the country needs me. He grabbed the second parachute and jumped out of the plane. The third passenger was Pope Francis. He said to a young Boy Scout, I'm old and frail. You take the last parachute, young man. The Boy Scout answered back with a smile on his face, thank you, sir, but there's still 2 parachutes left. The world's smartest man just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. Fearless. Someone shout fearless. Yes. Every decision we make from the place of fear will almost invariably be a bad decision. And so fear is not God's will. God doesn't have it or send it. We don't have to keep it or be governed by it. Our text will be 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Subtitle is The Valley of Blessings. The Valley of Blessings. It happened after this, verse 1. The people of Moab, Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's king of Judah, a godly king, a highly spoken of king by God himself. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Assyria, from Hazazon and Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast through all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. From all the cities, they came to seek the Lord. I love this story because it's so human. It begins by something bad happening to someone good. We end up in needless theological complications when we try to explain why bad things happen. The Bible tells us why. Here's why bad things happen to good people. The first reason is the fall of man and sin. This world is not in the same condition God created it to be. God created a perfect world. He put 2 people in it that would have lived forever. He gave them access to eternal life. When they sinned, not only did they fall away from God, but creation itself became corrupted by the fall of man. And so bad things happen because we live in a fallen world, okay? And so the Bible says it rains on good folks, it rains on bad folks, it rains on pretty folks, it rains on ugly folks. Jesus said, storms come to the righteous and the unrighteous. They just come. They're in the environment of a fallen world. Number 2, bad things happen because the devil is your enemy. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The fingerprints of God are never on the evil things in your life. If it ain't good, it ain't God. Come on, Pastor, see, so many churches and so many preachers almost completely ignore the devil. Well, you know, there was a reason why that baby died. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You can't invite a lost world to a loving God by telling them he kills babies. Be with me. The devil is a real 24/7 enemy of mankind, and he steals, he kills, and he destroys. And you can't overcome him if you don't believe in him. Now, we shouldn't be overwhelmed with him. We shouldn't be obsessed with him, but we certainly shouldn't stick our head in the sand and pretend he's not there. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Rebuke the devil, he'll flee. Discern the devil, and you can destroy his works. The third reason why bad things happen is God is not intimidated by difficulty in our life. And so some things happen in our world because God just wants the chance to show you what he can do. Here's what he said: I'll work all things together for your good. You can't know how great God is until you've had him come into the great storms of your life. Amen. I have a great testimony because I've been through great storm. I know how good God is, how great God is, because he rescued me from what life tried to do to destroy me. So that's part of the journey. The Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. So he gets fear is the anticipation of negative things happening in the future. It's faith in reverse. Faith believes God's word. Fear believes the devil's word. So he's afraid. And you know, rightfully so. Let's say there's 1 million people coming against his army of 40,000. That kind of outrageous odds. So he's afraid, but he did something about his fear. He sought God. Something happens when we take our fear and bring it to God in prayer. The Bible says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understandings will guard and watch over, protect, and be a sentinel around your heart, umpiring it, governing its actions and environment. God says, I'm going to give you peace if you'll give me prayer. So we face our fears by giving them to God. We turn them over to God. We let God in on our real life. And they sought the Lord, and he brought everyone to seek God. One of the reasons why God doesn't do more. Oh, Pastor, why doesn't God help more? We don't ask him more. They ask for help. It's amazing. Just in the simple act of prayer is this great governing virtue of humility. And God likes it when human beings recognize they're human and he's divine and they ask for help. Every day when I wake up, I have this massive time with God, and I always remind, I say, God, you've made us, not we ourselves. You're the shepherd, we're the sheep. You're the potter, we're the clay. He likes it when we have a proper perspective of life. Amen. He's a great God. And so here is Jehoshaphat now doing something about it, and so he's going to advance into a prayer, because it's important for you and I to stop telling God how big our mountains are and start telling our mountains how big our God is. Jehoshaphat stood and he prayed, Oh Lord God, verse 6, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Yes, he is. God over all of heaven, all eternity. Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? Are you not God on earth? He is. He's Lord over Russia and China and India. He's Lord over Iraq. There's no place where Jesus is not Lord. There's no place where God is not supremely in control. There's no place. It's not under the government, the jurisdiction of God's creative mandate, his majesty, his divine rule. And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one can withstand you. I just want to remind you, your God is awesome. Your God is fearful in wonders. He is great beyond description. He's omnipotent. He's great and then greatly to be praised. There is no enemy. He laughs at his enemies. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to your descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Joshua, go take the promised land. So this generation, Jehoshaphat's generation, is living in the victory of another generation. They're blessing, they're expanding, they're being fruitful. They dwell in it. They built you a sanctuary in it for your name. Saying, now this is quoting almost directly from the prayer of Solomon as he dedicated the temple. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, very close to Ezekiel's and Revelation's description of kind of the four horsemen, the apocalyptic vision of things that would happen. So these things have always happened. There's always been war, pestilence, famine, judgment. The other thing is wild beasts or demonic activity. So those things, if these things happen, we stand in the, before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. You will hear and save. Our God answers prayer. He's a prayer answering God. Prayer is not just a devotional exercise to make you feel better. Prayer shapes history. Intercessors shape history. The things you're praying about now, God's going to do tomorrow. Don't stop praying today. You watch God do things tomorrow. And then they said, now, here we are, the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, that you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. You wouldn't let us destroy them. Now, here's an important point. You have to get this. God left some stuff for you to whoop. God left some things for you to see his greatness in. Yeah, you're almost here. Pastor, I don't know why there's so many trouble. God sees it as an opportunity to show us who he is and who we are. These nations were left so Jehoshaphat's generation could see the same God that Joshua's generation saw. Yeah. Oh, praise God for Smith Wigglesworth. I just preached where he church he birthed. Praise God for Amy Simmons McPherson, Catherine Cole. Praise God for all the victories they saw, the great day. But we're going to see the same God do the same stuff here in this time. And then he said this, you didn't let us destroy them or drive them out. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. He says, God, we have no power against this multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, as I've gotten older, one of the funnest things I love to say is, I don't know. When I was a young preacher, I tried to answer everything. You with me? Come on, half of it was BS. It's not really a cuss word, is it? When my wife's gone, I start cussing. I don't feel, people say, well, what about this thing? I don't know. If the Bible doesn't tell me exactly, if God's not visited me with a dramatic revelation, I don't feel the necessity to know, but I do know who knows. Amen. His name's not Google, his name's God. We don't know what to do. God loves to help people that don't know what to do. You will reach a time in your life when everything you thought you knew how to do, you'll say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this marriage thing, this children thing, this business thing, this life thing. I need your help. God says, I'm here to help. I'm a very present help in time of trouble. So my first point is this. It's in your notes. The primary purpose of the enemy's assault against your life is to rob, kill, and destroy your inheritance as the child of God. The devil doesn't care that you saved and talking tongue, but that, he doesn't care that you dance in the spirit. The thing he doesn't want is you to find out who you really are and what you really have. Your inheritance. Amen. In him we have an inheritance. Ephesians begins by telling us when you were washed in the blood of Jesus, you were adopted to the family of God, and God started, our spirits cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The spirit bearing witness that we're the sons of God, or the sons of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. It is great. The Bible is the revelation of your inheritance through Christ. So the devil's trying to steal our identity and our inheritance, but the devil's a liar. We're getting our stuff back. We're getting our families back. We're getting the revelation of our destinies back. We're understanding our identity as children of God, and we're understanding our inheritance through Christ. Okay, next. Let's go on. So that he's prayed this massive prayer. Now all Judah, verse 13, their little ones, wives, children stood before the Lord. And the Spirit of God, prayer is not a one-way street. It's a conversation with God. One time I was worshiping God all night on the piano. When I was younger, I could do that. And now at least I dream about doing that. And so, I don't know, it's probably 3:34 in the morning. I'm waiting. I've been playing the piano 7-8 straight hours. Straight. Because I was a maniac. I'm still a maniac. I'm just a little more tired. And so I finally stopped. My fingers almost bleeding. I stopped. And I've been worshiping, singing prophetic songs. Hours. And as soon as I heard the Lord say, finally. Have you ever tried to talk to someone and they wouldn't stop talking? And then I did this. And then you're looking for a chance to leap. They don't even take a breath. Even when they're taking a breath, that's how I used to think prayer was. Finally, here's what he said to me. I've been waiting to talk to you all night. Now just lay down on your face before me and let me talk to you about your future. God has something to say that will change your life. And so the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. He's a Levite, the sons of Asaph. Now, these sons of Asaph were worship musicians. So he's a worshiper. Worshippers hear from God before everyone else because they're closer to God than everyone else. John said, that's Jesus. Everyone else just thought it was a guy on the shore. Worshippers see Jesus before anyone else. So he begins to prophesy. Listen, verse 15. All Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and especially you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord God, do not be afraid. So I want to say to you in Jesus' name, do not be afraid. Whatever's making you afraid is a lie. Half of it's coming from the church. We call it eschatology. I call it fear-mongering. You with me? I got news for you. The devil doesn't win. Okay. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Because of this circumstance, this great multitude, don't let your heart fear will pummel you down into a place of being demoralized, discouraged, and living in defeat. Fearful people are defeated people. Don't let that happen, for the battle isn't yours, but God's. It's God's fight. When you pray about it, you make it God's fight. Turn to someone and say, make it God's fight. I just need you to get this. There's more at stake than you. This isn't really about you. He loves us. He's engaged. He's called us. We have individuals' destinies tied to a larger generational, heavenly, purposeful, Christ-born destiny. our destiny is a piece, a part of heavenly destiny in a large scale. So the purpose of God, God says, I love you, Jehoshaphat, I love Israel, but you have to know something. This is my fight. They're taking me on. You can't massacre Christians and think you're gonna wipe God off the face of the earth. All you do is awaken the champion. It's God's fight. You can't wage war in the culture and act like there's no God and pick on Christians and mock and ridicule. Just go ahead, keep talking, keep yapping. There is a God. There is a sovereign, supreme, omnipotent God. And if you're going to have any fear, have fear of God. A healthy, normal, reverential worship and respect for who he is. Disciples screaming because the boat's about to sink. They're in jeopardy. One of the gospels says, they wake up Jesus, he rebukes the wind and calms the waves. And the Bible says, they were afraid of him. When God shows up and whoops your storm, it'll put your perspective, you'll see how great he is. He's fearful in wonder. Okay, this battle's not yours. Turn to someone and say, it's God's fight. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the spirits of Antichrist, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Holy Ghost in you is a champion. He's a fighter. He's an overcomer. He's a world changer. He's a world shaker. And he wants you to know he can't be defeated unless you silence him, unless you lock him out of access and activity. But if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, empower you, you will see your life overcome everything the enemy throws against you. Okay, it's God's fight. He says, go down tomorrow, verse 17. Don't fight. Oh, this is so good. Our fight is the fight of faith. Our fight is the fight of faith. At the cross, every present day difficulty was conquered. Every sin forgiven, every disease healed, every curse removed and rebuked. Now we fight the fight of faith to incorporate the glorious provisions and inheritance of the cross into our life. Every generation has that fight. Because God's the fight. He says, okay, you don't need to fight. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of God who is with you. Do not fear or be discouraged. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? God will never leave you. Loneliness is a lie. I was going to read through some phobias, but there are now several thousand phobias. There's a fear of preaching. There's a fear of cats and dogs. There's a fear of spaghetti. There's literally a fear of almost anything. A fear of makeup, a fear of no makeup, fear of hair, no hair, fear of feet, no feet. There's a fear. I'm not belittling people bound by those fears. You see, fear comes as a thought. Once it is allowed access, it engages your emotion. It becomes then tied to an emotional connection inside of you. So it stirs something. It creates an environment. If that environment lasts long enough, it becomes spiritual, a spirit of fear. And so fear is spiritual warfare. And the battlefield is your mind. And the devil is trying to, he's trying to destroy you, defeat you, demoralize you by throwing these fearful thoughts against you. And we have the shield of faith. We have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can quench the fiery darts of the enemy and so that we can live fear-free, fearless lives. The battle is in our soul. God says, I'm going to fight for you. Okay. Then everybody bowed. They're worshiping God. Verse 18. They bowed before the Lord. They worshiped him. The Levites stood to praise the Lord with voices loud and high like that. They rose early in the morning. They went out. Jehoshaphat said, hear me, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is so good. The prophet gave them the word. The king has to establish it. Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. My friend, I had the privilege of spending such some wonderful time with him, a historic figure, R.W. Shambach. He said, you don't have any troubles, just have faith in God. Just believe God. My third point is this: faith will take you out of the prison. Every prison cell, fear puts you in. So God brings to our fearful environment, before he brings a circumstantial change, he brings a revelation of truth. And he said, here's my promise. I'm with you. The battle's mine. You don't need to fight. Watch what I'm going to do. The enemy you see today, you'll see again no more forever. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're a world conqueror. Amen. You're going to see things happen and change. And God says, I want you to have an expectation of good in your future, not of evil. So faith changes our world. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever's born of God overcomes the world. The DNA of God is in you as a Christian. The DNA of Christ in your spirit. It's an overcoming DNA. And this is how that overcoming spirit works. This is the victory, the means of victory that brings an overcoming result. This is the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. Everybody say, my faith overcomes the world. Jesus is going to Jairus' house, Mark chapter 5. They came and tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. Jesus said immediately, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. I'm saying to someone today, fear not, only believe. The devil's a liar. Your story is not over. Don't live in the punishing prison cell of torment and phobia and fear, anxiety, stress, and worry. Don't be anxious. I used to walk the floor at night, unable to sleep, worry and stress. I wasted too much time worrying when I should have been trusting, worshiping, and praising, believing. God says, I'm going to do something great. Just so Jehoshaphat said, believe him. And so here's their solution. Verse 21, he consulted with the people. And he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out in front of the army singing, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Now I like this. My last point is this. Praise is your weapon. Worship is your weapon. You have to get this. In a cycle of life, a cycle of faith, trouble comes, we pray. When we pray, God speaks. When we believe God, we're moving around. And when you really believe God, you conclude that season with worship. When you can worship God for being good while you're still going through something that's bad, you bring us a heavenly earthquake that shakes the world and releases a heavenly purpose. You're almost with me. See, the world waits for good news to happen before they celebrate it. God says, I want you to celebrate it the moment I tell you about it. Someone shout, summer of miracles. So, how'd you like to be in the choir? And the prophetic plan is, what's the plan? You choir people, you guitar players and harpers and trumpeters and drummers, you go out in front of the army. What? We're supposed to be back there. We're not fighters, we're lovers. No, God says, praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon. Now, when they began to sing and praise, God, you're good. Your love never fails. Come on. Jehoshaphat is going through the worst thing he would ever go through. A good man going through a bad thing. A godly kingdom going through a horrific demonic attack. And when they started telling God how good he was, when they started telling God how merciful he was, before anything had ever happened, heaven came down. And everything changed. You're not going to believe what happens there. Read it with me. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushes. Ambushments, the King James says, against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And they were defeated. The people of Ammon and Moab, you know, got together, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly destroy them. And when they killed them, they fought against each other, killed each other. When Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on earth. No one escaped. Judah comes ready to fight, and the fight's over. You see, that's what faith does. Faith brings you to the victory of the cross. Faith brings you to the conquest of your Jesus. But it wasn't over. Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Now let me get this right. The devil comes to destroy them, and by the time the story ends, every person in Israel has so many blessings, they can't even carry them away. They were three days gathering the spoil because there was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled together in the valley of Berachah. There's my whole sermon. I'm sorry it took me so long to get here. Berachah means blessing. For there they blessed the Lord, and they called that place the Valley of Blessing to this day. Look at me for a minute. Phoenix is going to be your Valley of Blessing. 2015, and whatever year you hear this in the future, is going to be your year, season of blessing. In the same way, in the same season where Satan has brought together a trifecta, perfect storm of adversity, God has some surprise endings for the enemy. And in one day, God made a place of tears became a place of joy. God turned curses to blessings. God turned the enemy's assault into a heavenly grace, anointing, favor, provision, and prosperity. God turned it around. Your famine's over. Your drought's over. Welcome to your summer of miracles. Welcome to a new season. Welcome to God helping you. Welcome to God showing you what he can do. Things are going to shift and change in your life. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to ask people that have, if you put the offering bucket down front, please. If you have an offering for our pledge, either a pledge or a miracle pledge, for our summer of miracles, bring it down and put it in the bucket, please, now. Everyone stand to your feet. I want you, before you leave, I just want you to spend 3 or 4 minutes worshiping God. How many of you here would say honestly, Pastor, I'm going through some kind of, you know, difficulty or problem right now? Just wave your hand at me if that's you. Anybody here? Okay. We're going to give the devil a black eye today. Just worship him. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, it's a new season for my life. I believe God. God is helping my family. God is helping my marriage. God is helping my children. God is helping my business. God is helping my health. In every place where I need him, help is on the way. I declare in Jesus' name, the battle is the Lord's. I declare in Jesus' name, the best is yet to come. And I praise you and worship you, God. Now, if you have a pledge, bring it down front. We're going to worship God. Come on, someone, sing his praise.
Pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath
in our lungs. Come on, come on.
So we
say, I've sent angels to your house, Averna. There's angelic activity around you. It has a supernatural disposition. It's not just looking, it's acting. And things are beginning to happen. Things are beginning to be resolved. And things are beginning to be restored. And God says, you've come into a season like Sarah of old, when a holy laughter will fill you. For the things I'm doing for you, because I've commanded a release of those things the enemies tried to hurt you through. I commanded a restoration of those things he would take from you. And I've released angels, says the Lord. Prayer team, would you please come forward, prayer team? All the earth will sing your praise. All the earth
will shout your praise.
Uh-huh. Pray for you if you're going through a difficult trial. Listen to me. There are people here that are just barely hanging on, and God is here to help you if you'll ask. Let this be a turning point in your life and in the season of your life you're in. Come for prayer. If you've never received God's grace, the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of eternal life by knowing Jesus, today's your day to know him. If you don't know Jesus, please come and receive him. Let this be your day. Anyone needing prayer, please come forward. Just for a moment longer, we're going to keep worshiping. Our hearts will cry.
These bones will sing.
Worshiping here. Don't forget, Wednesday night's going to be a great service here. I can't